welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the second album from a New Orleans band called The Convenience. The title is Like Cartoon Vampires, and the first song is called I Got Exactly What I Wanted. Heard this band's first album, Accelerator, which came out 4 years ago, you would be surprised to learn it was the same band, because it was very kind of 80s coded and synthy, and this is a very different sound. And when I first heard this record and I heard this first song, my immediate comparison was to Spoon, but they really cover a lot of ground on this record and all the songs are very different.
Yeah, I think even within this song, there is that spread where it starts in that too cool for school groove and the kind of detached vocals, but as soon as that chorus hits, mm-hmm. and suddenly it gets so much noisier, mm-hmm. and you get this interplay between the vocals where there's the lead vocals but then also the backing vocals, and so you find out, oh, this rich rock sound is a duo where they're. And in the interviews, it's like, well, I don't know. One of us was on drums. Both of us were on guitars. And so it's not even clear who's playing what on these tracks. But a lot of them are two vocals and two guitars. And the production really emphasizes that, because oftentimes you get one guitar in the right ear and then the other guitar in the left ear. So you really get the sense of a conversation between these two.
Yeah, this band is a duo. The players are named Nick Corson and Duncan Trost. And Corson is apparently from San Francisco. So I was excited to hear that. And part of the explanation of how they ended up with such a different sound is that for their first album, they were kind of still in the style of a band they had performed with before, prior to this. And then during the pandemic, they were both kind of sitting around, like wanting to spend more time playing the guitar. And, you know, they've talked about how, you know, Corson said there was nothing to do except sit around and play guitar, and it was so fun. If I actually think about the things that are dearest to my heart, I'm such a rock and roll guy. And so he was like, this is the energy that I need to get through the lockdown.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, the energy. And when they talk about these tracks, that so much of apparently it's just, oh, I don't know, we just improvised together a riff, mm-hmm. and then I improvised some vocals, mm-hmm. and then edited it down. And it's, yeah, it has that sense of spontaneity, which is so great for something that clearly must have taken a lot of work in the studio. And at least on this track, I'm like, well, I believe it. It feels pretty understated. They lock into a pretty simple rhythm and this groove kind of carries you through. But especially rhythmically, a lot of the tracks get much more interesting and kind of crazy. And that starts right off on the next track called Target Offer.
We'll be right back.
your town. It's the sound of desire.
Get such a blast out of this song. It's just the it's so jittery and the guitars are so kind of hyperactive, and contrast that with these crazy lyrics about like, I want to live in ancient Spain. Mm-hmm. And so this sort of modern anxiety and like, oh, but I could be back there with my pre-Christian artifacts in a leather bag. It's such a weird contrast. And then the entire thing explodes into a wall of noise for about a minute. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they do some really strange experimental things on this record. And we chose to play that section because it starts out in a very kind of conventional pop groove. Although I love the very angular guitars that remind me of like Gang of Four, or they talked about getting into the fall during COVID as well. But then it just kind of goes off the rails into this noise area. And, you know, there are other songs that we won't play on here. Like one is just a kind of a groovy instrumental, and one is just almost spoken word. Yeah. And so they just do some really strange things that I think are interesting.
Yeah, I'm not getting bored. This is a really fun, again, for the show, we want to do multiple listens. And especially I feel like being hyper stereo in your production feels like a little like not hip. I feel like that used to be a thing. And then people are like, no, let's tone it back. But no, I love how stereo separated this record.
I didn't realize that was uncool.
I don't know. I feel like for a while, just I wasn't noticing it so much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've listened to some records recently, and this one is really out there with like, no, this guitar is hard right. This guitar mm-hmm. is hard left. Mm-hmm. And so it really accentuates, I think, that feeling of the kind of conversation between these. And I'm always a sucker for bands with kind of two lead guitars. And that's, I really feel like here that it's never, no one's backing up. They're having a conversation and it's a little crazy, but super fun.
Yeah. If you go and look on their Bandcamp page to see the credits, and it's all songs written, performed, and recorded by Nick Corson and Duncan Trost. And then there are some additional strings credited, and that's it. So yeah. I think they are playing all the instruments.
Yeah. And so I don't know how they do this live. They are on tour this summer, but the tour does not make it west of Texas. So maybe next time.
Mm. So the next song we'll play is called Dub Vultures. A lot of time trying to parse these lyrics because they're kind of vaguely dystopian but also nonsensical a lot of the time. And Corson has said in the interview that, you know, as you mentioned, that these were just kind of recorded spontaneously. They got together and played, and they would just kind of come up with something on the spot. And so Corson has said that sometimes words would happen. Sometimes I'd set up a mic and free associate, and a lot of times those words ended up in the songs. So sometimes I'd have something separate written. I started free writing a lot, so sometimes I'd pull from my notebook. But I don't get the sense that they're trying to tell a story here. They're just trying to make the sound sound good.
Yeah. I think they definitely make the sound sound good.
Sound good.
And they also, I mean, to the extent that I can interpret this, it feels like, is it vaguely maybe about imperialism? And it's like, here are these people in these planes flying around, just looking down on the little people and being kind of this vulture and taking what you want and being kind of this, the scavenger. So yeah, it's, you know, hand wavy. Who cares? It sounds awesome. And I love that. You know, to the extent that, you know, we had that first song that was super kind of spoon, but then with an edge, and here it's like I get a lot of Beck with the kind of funky textures.
I'm not sure I agree with that, but yeah. It's got cowbell.
It does have cowbell. But I do love also like how it feels so kind of just like, oh, we're just kind of riffing and messing around, and then ends up with these weirdly structured with, you know, what kind of song do I end up with? A pre-bridge and a bridge and a post-bridge, these crazy. And then these crazy interludes with insane syncopation with, that cowbell. And so unexpected and so perfect. I enjoy the heck out of this. And so we go from this with fun syncopation to the next track where it's just like, let's do crazy time signature and see if we can pull that off. It's called Waiting for a Train. The song makes a 7/4 beat work. It feels natural, even as it's a little unsettling. But the contrast of this steady and yet missing a beat is so perfect for these lyrics about being kind of stuck. And it's the sense, it's such a great rhythm for you feel like you're in this and you keep getting pulled back to the beginning prematurely. And so I think it's really suits the material.
Yeah. I don't usually notice time signatures until you said it. And then we listen through and it's like, oh yeah, that is a very like hiccupy, like offbeat. And and without noticing that specifically, I felt that the song was like a little unsettling and it conveys that feeling well, even if you don't specifically notice it.
Yeah. Well, I love the section we played. There's not like clear choruses and bridges here. A lot of these songs defy easy categorization of verse, chorus, and bridge. But I love that section where he's kind of singing high and it's very smooth and soaring. And then it comes back to this verse. And then the very syncopated 7/4 becomes just bang, 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 bang. And the beat becomes super, super simple. And it's like, it's very jarring before then the song breaks into noise. I just really enjoy how fun and weird and pulling off, a weird time signature that ends up being a groove I want to listen to. It's good job, guys.
Yeah. And they've said that their songwriting tends towards pop structures and like kind of conventional structure. So I think there's an intentional effort here to diverge from that path and do things that are a little bit different.
Yeah. Of course, now saying that, I think the next song we'll play is one of the more kind of conventionally catchy songs, maybe, has a lot of propulsive energy, and it's not in a weird time signature. It's called That's Why I Never Became a Dancer.
Thank you.
play a bit from the middle there because it's a lot more interesting than the beginning of the song, which, like you mentioned, just kind of starts out with a more conventional style and then it really kind of wanders around a lot, like all of these songs do. And I feel like this song really has a lot of layers too. It's one of the songs where I didn't really hear all the different parts until I listened to it with good headphones. And, you know, presumably they kind of recorded these somewhat spontaneously, but then had time to go over. And because they were playing all the parts, like, you know, really get each track or each piece of the track ironed out.
Yeah, I love, though, the chorus is one of the more straightforward bits on this mm-hmm. record, where it's just that repeated line, "That's why I never became a dancer," over and over again. And it's kind of getting back to that same kind of too cool for school groove. But then as the course of the chorus, you start getting these guitar stings coming in. It becomes more interestingly textured. And then we get the bridge, which takes up, I mean, I call it a bridge. It's the outro of the song's second half is kind of these totally different style where it becomes much more expansive and all these weird kind of meditations on, you know, he's an artist and he's calling. And it's again, I don't know what this is inspired by, but it sounds cool as hell. And there's this great kind of echoey guitar that's almost a surf guitar sound. It's not really played like that, but the echoing sound of it is really cool.
Yeah, and the detached vocals, like, that you keep calling too cool for school, which is not what I would say, but it's kind of a detached deadpan style. They don't carry a lot of emotion, but the guitars really carry the emotions in these songs where, you know, the vocals are a bit flat, but then the guitars are running all over the place.
Yeah, it is cool as hell. And we go from that to another song. I think that it's really has some fun propulsiveness to it, and it's the sort of title track. It's called 2022. In 2022. So many of the songs, even this one that I thought of, you know, I talked about, oh, this one's like also kind of catchy and straightforward. And I feel like it's relatively, you know, straightforward in some sense. And it's got this nice rhythm and catchiness. But there's also, oh, we get some piano, but then also those strings we were promised, and they come in pretty hard and screechy. And then it kind of goes, finds back a groove, and we're enjoying it. And we're hearing more of just in 22 and all the things we have. And it's just these general unease with the modern world. And then that breaks apart again, even harder, where we start just getting these crazy industrial sounds happening. So it's like the pleasant music and like nice voice vocals are contrasting with increasingly deranged sounds that end up dominating the end of the song. And this is one of the longer ones on the record.
Yeah, and you mentioned that this was sort of the title track. It's because there's a mention of like cartoon vampires in there. And Carson, who's, as I mentioned, from San Francisco, he said, "It's an image. The cartoon vampire was an image I thought of when I was at home in San Francisco visiting my parents. There were so many driverless cars, and there was something so unsettling about the way they moved among normal traffic, undead floating like cartoon vampires. I was thinking about the stupid evil of automation. It's kind of goofy looking, and it doesn't always work quite right." And being in San Francisco and seeing the Waymos everywhere, that image really resonated with me.
Yeah, it's at least the first attempt, I think, to capture the uncanny valley-ness of like, what are these, what does it mean for this to be? And you're like, yeah, it's a vampire. It's like, it's eating the world that we had is being eaten by these crazy robots. It's so weird.
Yeah, and you know, the whole album is kind of covered with these metaphors that point to unease with technology and kind of modern disassociation from what it means to be a person, but it doesn't coalesce around any particular idea. And that is maybe my criticism of the album, is that I wish there were more like actual ideas, but I also really like to listen to lyrics, and I like lyrics that are a little bit more in telling a story.
Yeah. Whereas for me, the lyrics come later. If they don't quite gel, that's quite all right. If I'm enjoying the ride sonically, and I do across this record and into the next track, where we get a little bit of a twang on the Western Pepsi Cola town.
References in here, like you saw, you heard earlier, there was a reference to The Police, Don't Stand So Close to Me. And then this song reminds me so much of The Pretenders' Tattooed Love Boys, the guitar line on it. But also the I Can't See Me Loving Nobody But You. Like, they just kind of throw these in, and it's, I like the effect. It's like a little unsettling, because then it diverges from what you expect.
Yeah, the different combination of sounds where, you know, I do hear a twang. I think it's maybe like a little more rockabilly rather than Western, mm-hmm. but then it's mixed with that super kind of new wave guitar sound.
Mm-hmm. And such a great bass.
And this great, the bouncy bass. Everything about this is so bouncy, mm-hmm. and it just has this great forward energy. And then to read the interviews, I'm like, oh yeah, this is our critique of capitalism and sort of imperialism coming into developing countries. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, Corson said in an interview that he wrote this after he read an article about developers in Nigeria building these huge skyscrapers that just sit empty while the general population suffers right next door. And just, you know, it's kind of this weird dissociation from the real life of people.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'm catching it, but I do know that this song is super fun and clearly has a lot of depth, that it can be fun and unsettling, having these different kind of bouncy sounds that shouldn't work together, but they do. It is, and it doesn't sound like anything else on the record. And so, yeah. I mean, as you were lamenting, like, yeah, it would be nice to have more of a cohesive through line, but if you're not going to have a cohesive through line thematically, at least have it be then variety on this level, where every song is going to surprise you in some way, and that's so great.
Yeah, and part of what I look for when I'm choosing albums for us to talk about is looking for things where I can't really put my finger on where I've heard this before, and I can't quite categorize it, and I enjoy listening to it, and this one definitely fits into those. It checks all those boxes.
Yeah, so we come in to the tail end of this record, which is 13 tracks, but actually, most of them are really short, except for the last one. And so we're here at track 12, penultimate track, and it's called Vanity Shapes. I heard the rumor, red as a painter on the door, who is the plaything riding around on the kitchen floor. I am the son of suburban corn. Daylight, white as night, moving away from the dummy mind. Now vanity shapes my mind. Vanity shapes my mind. Vanity shapes. Well, for a little there, this was the pretty song on the record with that. I think the vocal styling being the most melodic and almost like a chamber pop kind of feeling.
But and the strings that are credited to Mac Folger.
Yeah, it's really pretty and sweet. even as it's sort of unsettling vocally. And then at the end of the song, we start to get these very screeching noise, mm-hmm. almost like an old school modem connect mm-hmm. kind of coming in. And it's, yeah, that was a good, yeah, you like my impression. No, it's, so we, yeah, I don't know that it's the most successful, but it is that contrast and that feeling of unease amongst the sweetness, and that it, again, that this sounds like nothing else on the record.
I did not get that at all, but I just thought with that descending piano line, it was just such a pretty short little song that I felt like it was a voice that you don't get anywhere else on the record, mm-hmm. and it kind of fills out the rainbow of different songs that they're, the different song styles that they're creating here.
Yeah, I guess some of the lyrics where it's like about our trying to break free of something and, you know, being uneasy with his suburban upbringing and just black as daylight, white as night. And just, it's very contrasty and very mm-hmm. impressionistic, but it is to me that sort of, wait a second, daylight isn't black and night isn't white. And so it is a little bit unsettling in that sense of like, I'm a little at unease. And then again, the screeching isn't helping.
Well, and it's just an example of how much variety there is on this album. And the last track, which we'll go out with, is called Fake the Feeling, and it's more than 10 minutes long, and it kind of starts out as a more conventional song and then just goes into this weird noise kind of drone area.
And it built on a riff that is both very kind of earwormy and sort of aggressively unpleasant. Like, it's very cool sounding, but just so discordant, and yet they just powering through. So it is, it's something that it's a crazy way to end the record, but again, like nothing else, we did a 12 short songs that just blew your mind, and now we're gonna stretch out and on a different record might be incredibly self-indulgent, but I feel like here, like, yeah, you guys have earned it. Show us what you got for a 10-minute epic.
Yeah, I hate to say, because it's such a cliche, that I can't wait to see what they do next. But I think these two have a really interesting collaboration and an interesting way of looking at sound. Yeah. And I want to hear more of it.
Yeah, and after listening to that first record, which is fine, mm-hmm. but totally different. It's not totally different, but also not to me compelling. Yeah. It just felt like every track I'm like, okay, fine, okay, uh-huh. fine. Whereas here, every track I'm like, oh, this is different. Oh, I didn't expect these things to go together. Wow, these guys are really amazing at compiling sounds, riffing, and coming, like, throwing everything together and then editing it down to something that feels perfectly composed and thought through, and yet with that feeling of spontaneity. It's really quite something.
So we'll go out on the last track, Fake the Feeling. And we've been discussing The Convenience and their second record, Like Cartoon Vampires. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
Of the BFF.FM podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.